Welcome to A Flame in the Chaos, where we talk about our real life chaos and how the flame of God never goes out. He is our light in the darkness and the calm in our chaos. And man, am I so thankful for that, because Lindsay will always bring the chaos, and thank God the Holy Spirit always brings the flame. So do you know the difference in praise and worship? Now, I will tell you, I absolutely love to sing, okay? I love it, but I'm not the best at it, so I would never get on a stage and sing to people with a microphone and call myself part of the praise and worship team. One, my husband would never allow me to do that. Two, there would be no congregation left to listen if I got up there, so... We hear it all the time, though, like, are y'all ready for praise and worship? Or let's go and praise and worship. Like, that's something that we hear a lot, but do we truly understand the meaning of it, especially the word worship? So one of my favorite songs is So Will I, 100 billion times, you know, and it says, if the stars were made to worship, so will I. Like, it's so deep and so powerful, and, you know, but sometimes I catch myself singing songs and I'm not really 100% sure of the meaning or the word. I just love it. I'm feeling it. I remember being in high school singing My Redeemer Lives and had no idea what a redeemer was or why he was alive. Okay. Like, I just feel the song sometimes and I just really love it and will sing it anyway. But I truly, truly love that song. It's one of my favorites, and it's deep and you just feel the power in it. And I love that. So again, I love to sing, but it's not praise and worship material. So God appreciates my joyful noise though. Like, I will say that he likes the joyful noise that I do produce, and that's okay. So I just show up in the crowd and I enjoy it, and the people around me just, I hope that they're singing loud enough to not even, you know, wonder or what is that, like, dying seal around me. Nobody's ever said anything about it, but I know that sometimes people hear me, or when the music gets quiet and it's in that like a cappella part with no instruments, I have to sing a little lower in those moments. But it wasn't until recently that I really felt like I needed a deeper understanding of praise and worship. So ultimately, it's about relationship and understanding to me. So in the Bible, it does say that the angels and heavenly host are told to praise, as well as the earthly population. And so we see dancing and singing and music and instruments in some churches now. Some churches is not permitted, but you know what? Some churches, they be praising, okay? So ultimately, praise is how we show gratitude for everything that God has done for us. We can praise other people too, other than God. So other people that might get our praise, our children, our family members, our friends, our employees, our students, even our animals. Some animals, I don't have animals, but some people's animals get a lot of praise. So it's really a celebration of who they are, what they've done, what they've accomplished. In Psalm 18:3, it says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So we are acknowledging God's great works for us, for others in general. Like, he is a good God, y'all. He is so worthy to be praised. So praise is a good thing. We declare it, we sing it, we shout it, we dance around, we play that tambourine. Like, I love to see people play the tambourine, y'all. We don't have a tambourine in our church, but I really feel like we should get some. And some flags, okay? Some churches, they have flags, and however you praise, just keep praising, okay? Somebody, one time I was in a service, and somebody gave me a flag, and man, I just had the best time with that praise flag. And I was really feeling it. I was whipping that thing around. My husband was not feeling it, though. I almost hit him in the head a couple times. It was so funny now to think back about the ride home and how he was just not feeling the service the way I was feeling it. But man, I had that praise flag going. However you praise, praise. And you know, there's old songs like, we went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. And then it goes into, he's under my feet, he's under my feet. Okay, if you ain't stomping during that part, he's under your feet, but you ain't even stomping, is that even praise? Okay, so however you praise, that's okay. Just keep praising. And, you know, sometimes it just leads others to praise more, you know. And I, you know, just seem to sound like I'm howling when I sing. But hey, that's my praise. However you praise, just keep on praising, right? So then what is worship? Like, is worship when you just like close your eyes and lift your hands while you're praising? There is a big difference in praise and worship. So praise is really for anybody, but worship is left for God alone. So they may come like together hand in hand, but worship enters you into a place that praise cannot go. So anyone can feel the beat. Anybody can hear the song. Anybody can dance. Anybody can get involved. But worship is very personal. So it's deep. It's like within us. It's in our spirit. And so in worship, we really kind of start to lose ourselves in the love for someone or something else. So now while some people might do this with other, like it's very easy to find ourselves worshiping people instead of God. So really worship is supposed to be set aside for God alone. So praise sometimes is really easy, like depending on who you're with, letting your guard down, they got that tambourine going, they got them flags. Praise is easy, okay? But one of the things that is not necessarily easy is worship. So even the coolest, newest, most proud, who's going to whisper that song and barely just clap to the music, you know what I mean? That is a praise. They're doing a little bit of praise, but that worship is not really as easy as that little bit of praise that's already so hard to overcome for you. So it truly involves allowing us to break our barriers down and allow God to come inside of us, right? To have control, to let him see our vulnerability. And we often forget that God knows every single piece of us. So we still build a wall up to keep him out. Even though he knows every piece of us, we don't share everything with God. Like we decide to build that wall around this so maybe God won't see it. And so we can see when somebody praises, but honestly, true worship is not known by anybody else. Anybody can see, you know, you singing or dancing, clapping, but worship is not known. Somebody can look like they're worshiping and be in a whole different headspace. You know what I mean? Worship is not really something that you can judge on somebody else. So it involves humbling ourselves, setting that pride aside, truly submitting all of you and everything you have, surrendering it to God in that moment. And then the hardest, worship is showing our love and total respect for God and who he is. And not because of the things that he's done for us. Like that's a big thing because we tend to think of God and we love him because of what he's done for us. Not because of who he is. Not because of that respectful reverence to his name and his holiness. I mean, to who God is in general. So I want to ask a tough question here, okay? Asking to myself as well, can you love someone you don't know? Let's really think about that, okay? Can you let yourself be so open and so vulnerable with a stranger, okay? I know it's God. I know that's what you're saying. Like, this is God. Like, it's different. People call his name, though, all day long and have no idea who he actually is. That's just something to think about. Do you have a relationship? Do you truly know who God is enough to love him, enough to worship him? That's a big deal. So worship is more than just on Sunday mornings. It's actually a lifestyle. The way that worship works is that it's in our everyday life and our regular routine. So John 4 and 23 tells us the Father is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. It is not about being seen. It's not about external movements. God knows our motives. He knows our hearts. He knows our minds. And so we can pretend with others. And often we fool them. Like we fool other people. There are people like all the time in different positions. And you know what I mean? I talked in another episode about a man at the factory I was beside. And he was at the factory. But he was talking all this nonsense. And I can imagine that since he had bookings throughout, that he was a pretty good at pretending at worship. You know what I mean? So only God knows our hearts, our minds, our motives. But we can't fool him. Like, we cannot fool God like we can fool other people. So anybody can praise, again, but the Bible tells us in Luke 19:40 that if the people don't praise God, that even the stones will cry out. So worship can only come from those who seek a relationship with God by humbling and submitting and surrendering. So praise anybody can do. If you don't do it, the rocks are going to do it, right? But worship is different. Worship comes from those who seek that true relationship. So in times of worship is really when you're closest to God. You may hear that like still small voice, have that unction from the Spirit. You may be convicted. You may just feel the presence, the overwhelming presence of the Holy Spirit. In Psalms 51, we learn that worship is actually an attitude of the heart. And remember, he knows us. In Matthew 6:24, it reminds us that we are also reminded that no one can serve two masters. You cannot worship God and worship the world at the same time, guys. So it reminds me of the verse that I was speaking about in another episode as well, the lukewarm Christian. So they're not hot and they're not cold. And so because they're lukewarm, it says God would spew them out of his mouth. It is all or nothing. The same with worship. It's all or nothing. So we come into church and we mildly clap and we, you know, kind of whisper the songs or move our mouth. And, you know, all too often we avoid like true praise and worship because of what we feel the person next to us will think. Our family, a stranger, a friend. It may even be a circumstance. Because the community knows I'm going through this, I shouldn't be this way. Because my father passed away, I should not openly praise. Because I'm getting a divorce, I shouldn't seem happy in this moment. Because my kids are acting out, then I should not openly raise my hand to praise God. What? What? No, that's a wrong way of thinking. You know what I mean? Or if you're with somebody and they're like, you know, I just don't agree with that. We're just not going to praise and worship this way. You better listen to your spirit, because you know what's next? It says we can only serve God and not a double master. So now don't hate me for saying this, but if you're in a position where you're limiting yourself to what you do because of what somebody else thinks, is that a double master there? I mean, the struggle is real, like sometimes, right? There are some areas I still struggle with. But I mean, we really have to make sure that if we are putting our thoughts on what others think rather than God and his thoughts, you know, that might not be right. Something's off, you know? It is really a mind game sometimes that holds us back from true freedom. And you know what happens when we're freed? Well, we are free, and others can be free. When we're free, then we can draw others to that same freedom. They see something change in you. They want to know what it is, you know? How do you know that that person beside you during praise and worship is not holding back just because of you, right? Because of what you may think. So, a true relationship, true worship, and praise from the heart truly moves mountains. That's it right there. I mean, that is your breakthrough. When you are truly praising and worshiping and seeking that presence of God because you love him, because you're reverencing him, not because you're just making something, you're surrendering your entire heart, your entire soul, everything you have. God, I surrender it to you because of who you are, not because of the things you've given me, not because of the things you've done for me, but God, because of who you are, period. When you're walking in that freedom, can't nobody tell you nothing, okay? It's done. You're free. It is what it is. Look at me, talk about me, whisper about me, talk about my healing and my howling and my joyful noise and all that if you want to. I am free. I don't care. I'm going to get that tambourine and that flag and I'm going to be free, okay? We really are going to have to get some tambourines and flags for our church. I'm just going to have to tell them that on Sunday. But be encouraged.
knowing the difference, and I hope that you can pray honestly and allow those walls to fall down, and knowing that you'll be able to worship then in spirit and in truth. And so we have to look at it through our spiritual eyes from here on out. And I do want you all to have that freedom and that understanding that worship is not just closing your eyes and lifting your hands and doing nothing else. And you can't really tell if somebody else is worshiping. You should be in a place where you don't even know, or it doesn't even matter what's going on with anybody else, because your whole entire self is focused on the worship of your God. So I do encourage you all to start to really ask yourself, am I just praising? Does my praise mean anything? Am I really worshiping? God, can you see I'm worshiping? And look for that conviction. I want you all to have awesome, awesome praise and worship services. There is such a fire moving lately, and I just want to see it continue. And so I did just want to share what I have learned myself through a little bit of research. I love you all.